Hi, my name's Alan Smith. This webcast is going to look at using Windows Azure Storage Services in Windows Azure App Fabric. So what I'm going to run through in this webcast is creating an Azure App Fabric application, adding and configuring Azure tables and blobs, programming against the Azure Storage Services, and then testing against development and live storage. Bear in mind that we're based on CTP bits, so things may well change as App Fabric goes towards release. The scenario for this webcast is to evaluate using Windows Azure App Fabric for creating a website for the Sweden Windows Azure Group. I run an Azure user group in Sweden, and what I'd like to do is to create a website and use App Fabric for hosting that website. So the goals of this proof of concept really is to see if we can host a website and then see if we can use Azure Storage and add the functionality for adding meetings and uploading photos. Because it's a proof of concept, I'm going to keep things as simple as possible and just focus on implementing that functionality. So the traditional way to build applications for Windows Azure is to generate a new project. And you typically use this cloud folder. I haven't installed them, but you'll get the Windows Azure tools there. So that would generate a Windows Azure project. You could then add a web role to host the website and then start programming against Azure Storage. But what I'm going to do is to go into the App Fabric section and choose an App Fabric application. I'm going to call this project SwagPOC for Sweden Windows Azure Group Proof of Concept. So what that's generated for me is a Windows Azure application. We've got the app.cs, and we're actually viewing app.cs in something called the App Fabric Designer. Now this allows me to compose the application that I'm going to be building. So the first thing that I'm going to do is to add a new service. It's going to be an ASP.NET service, and I'm going to call it SwagWeb. Okay, so that's generated my ASP.NET site with a default.aspx. I'm going to close that and continue composing the application. I'll just save this. So I'm going to add two new Windows Azure storage services. The first one is going to be an Azure blob, and I'm going to name that Photos. Second one is going to be an Azure table, and I'm going to name that Meetings. Now in these Azure storage components, if we look in the properties window, we've got the option here to specify the account name and the account key if we're programming against storage in the cloud. But I'm going to be using the development storage. We've got this property here, use development storage, which is set to true. Same thing on meetings, I've got my account details that I can enter here, and also the option here to use development storage. So I'm going to show you the diagram for the application. If I select view diagram here, we can see that we've got the website here and the meetings and the photos storage artifacts there. So you can see that these are not connected together, they're just separate services at the moment. I'm going to go back to app.cs, select my website, and in the services reference section, I'm going to add service references to the photos blob and the meetings table, and click on add. So that's generated two references. So the first one is the reference to the photos, and I'm going to give that the name ref photos. Second one is the reference to the meetings, and I'm going to give that the name ref meetings. Now if we go back to the diagram view, you can see that we've now got the dependencies. We've got these references drawn in from the website running down to those two storage artifacts. So the next thing that I'm going to do is to add the functionality to my website to start working against Azure Storage. So what I'm going to do is to go to default.aspx, and I'm going to put some user interface code in. I can basically delete the code that we've got there. I'm then going to change the welcome message, so it's saying welcome to the Sweden Windows Azure Group. I'm going to go into the master page, and I'm going to change ASP.NET to my App Fabric application and save those changes. So going back to default.aspx, the first thing that I'm going to drop in is some user interface code, which is going to input the data for the meeting. So I've got various user interface elements there: title, date, description, presenter, location. These are text boxes, apart from the date, which is a calendar control. And then I've got a submit button here with an event. And to display the meetings, I'm going to put in some code like this. So what we're doing here is basically using an ASP.NET repeater. We're going to be doing data binding. We've got the header for the table there. And these are the items that we're going to display in the table, same ones that we're inputting from the user. So now I need to add some data access code to my web application to access the Windows Azure table storage. So I'm going to add a new folder named Data Access. And in this folder, I'm going to add a new class, and I'm going to name that class Meeting. So this is going to be an entity class that represents a user group meeting in the application. So the Meeting class is going to derive from Table Service Entity, and I'm going to drop in the Windows Azure Storage Client namespace for that. Now, table service entity means that the data can be persisted into an Azure storage table. So I'm going to add a constructor to this class. And in the constructor, I'm going to specify that we're going to set the partition key to meetings. So in a larger application, I may want to use something like the actual location of the meeting, the actual city where the meeting is held in as a partition key, if I'm going to be getting a lot of data. But just for test, I'll have everything having the partition key as meetings. So the next thing to add is the actual data fields that I'm going to use to represent the meeting. And these are going to be the same ones that I'm using in the user interface. We've got the title, the date description, presenter, and location there. So I'm going to add another class to the Data Access project. And that class is going to be called Meetings Table. And this table is going to have the actual data access methods that are going to access the storage table. So the first method I need is a method to add a meeting. That's going to be a static method that takes in a meeting as its parameter. So the first thing I need to do here is to get a reference to the actual table client that we're going to be using. And I'm going to use control dot to drop in the Windows Azure Storage client namespace here. So using service reference.createRefMeetings is going to give me a cloud table client that I can use to program against Azure Storage. And all of the configuration from that will come from what we've specified in the application there for this particular meetings table. So the next thing I'm going to generate is a table service context, and I'm just going to call getDataServiceContext on table client there. I'm then going to call the addObject method, passing in the meetings and specifying that this is going to go into the meetings table. And then I'm going to call saveChanges on the context to actually commit the changes to the Azure storage table. So I'm going to need another method to return all of the meetings. So as this is a proof of concept, I don't need to browse the meetings or search the meetings or choose a specific meeting. I'll just have one method to return all of the meetings. First two lines are going to be the same as in the add method, to get the cloud table client and to get the table service context. We're then going to use a line of link code to actually select all of the meetings that we've got in our particular table. And then I'm going to return all of those meetings converted to a list. So I'm going to press on F6 to build, and that's all I need for my actual table access. So that's giving me a successful build. So we've got our front-end code in default.aspx, and we've got our data access code in meetingstable.cs. What I'm going to do is go to default.aspx.cs, and I'm going to implement the code that ties those two together. So the first thing I'm going to do is to add an event for the Add Meeting button. So in this event handler, the first thing that we're going to do is to create a new meeting and then set it with values from the user interface. So I'm basically setting title, date, description, presenter, and location from what has been entered in the user interface. The row key is important. It's going to do two things. It's going to uniquely identify the meeting in the table, and it's also going to control the order of these meetings. So I'm using the date of the meeting and the number of ticks formatted as a string, and that's going to sort all my meetings in date order. So the next thing to do is to use the add method on the meetings table to add that meeting to Azure table storage, and then I'm going to add code that's just going to reset the user interface to empty strings. So we also need code to display the meetings. So I'm going to add an event handler for page pre-render. So because the repeater supports data binding, I can set the data source of the repeater to meetingstable.getAll, and that will return all of the meetings that we've got in the meetings table. And then I can call data bind on the meetings repeater to actually do the data binding. So I'm going to press F6 and see if we've got a valid build, and that built fine. So we're ready to test the meetings functionality. If you look in the design view, you can see that I've got these two artifacts in Azure Storage, the photos and the meetings container. So using the Azure Storage Explorer, I can go in and look at the development storage. And these are the blobs that we're looking at. You can see that the photos blob is not present. If you look in the tables section, you can see that I don't have a meetings table present there. I'm going to go into the application, I'm going to select debug, and I'm going to select start with it. So this has started the AppFabric emulator and also the Azure Compute emulator. So it's basically simulating the AppFabric environment on my local machine. So my website started up in the browser, and you can see the endpoint that we're using in development emulator here. If I switch to the Azure Storage Explorer and do a refresh here, you can see that the meetings table has been created when the application was provisioned. If I go to the blob storage and do a refresh, you can see that photos, the blobs container, has been created there. So if you go back to Visual Studio and look at the actual properties here in the application, you can see that we do have some properties here that we can set. So when my application is provisioned, this photos blob container will be created. When we unprovision the application, we don't take any action. I've got the option of deleting blob containers when I unprovision, but I want to leave the test data present there. It's the same things with the meeting table. We're going to create that table if it does not exist when we deploy, and we've got the option of being able to set that there. So I'm going to test the application by entering data on a sample meeting. So the title of the meeting is going to be AppFabric June CTP. I'm going to set the date of the meeting to July the 5th. The description is going to be news on the latest bits, and I'm going to be the presenter there. And the meeting is going to be hosted at the Knowit offices in Stockholm. So I'm going to click on Add. So you can see that the details for that meeting have been entered there successfully in that meetings table. So in Azure Storage Explorer, I can go to the tables, select the meetings table under a query, and you can see that the data for the meeting is appearing here, and the row key has been set with a number of ticks of the selected date in the calendar. The next thing I need to do is to add functionality for uploading and displaying photos using the Photos Blob storage. So I'm going to go to default.ispx and put in the user interface code. So the first thing we're going to have is a way of being able to upload photos. So I'm using a file upload component there and a button which is going to trigger that BTN upload click. And to display the photos, I'm going to use a placeholder and I'm going to add image controls to that placeholder with the relevant photos. So in the code behind for this page, I'm going to add an event handler for the photo upload button. So the first thing I'm going to have is code to generate a cloud blob client. I'm going to use control dot to drop in the Windows Azure Storage client namespace there. And again, I'm using the service references class to call create ref photos, and that's going to return me the blob client. I'm then going to get a reference to the actual blob container for photos. And what I also need to do is to specify that the container is going to have public access here. So this really only needs to do once, but I'm going to code it because it's a proof of concept in that button upload click event there. And that means that the browser will be able to use the URI of the photos to be able to actually retrieve the photos and display them on the page. So I'm going to generate a new blob. I'm calling blob container get blob blob reference, and I'm passing in the actual file name of the uploaded photo, and that's going to be the name that the blob is going to have in blob storage. I'm then going to specify that the blob contains image data by setting the content type. And then I'm going to upload the stream content of the file into the blob with the upload from stream method. So that's all we really need to do to be able to upload the blob into blob storage. So in the pre-render event, I'm going to use service references to get a blob client again and get the actual reference to the photos blob. What I'm then going to do is to get a list of all the blobs that are in that blob container. And then I can iterate through all of the blobs in the container and create a new image, specify the width and the height of that image, and add it onto the actual placeholder. Now what I'm doing is setting the image URI to the actual listblobitem.uri.absoluteuri. So the images are basically going to be pointing to the files that are stored in the blob storage. So I'm going to press F6 to build, and that was successful. So now we can test the full application. So I'm going to start the application without debugging. And here's the web page with the functionalities to upload photos. So this appears to happen very quickly in the webcast. I actually pause the recording when I'm spinning up the development emulator just to keep the timing for the webcast down. So we can test this by clicking on Browse. I'll select a photo of myself and click on Upload. And you can see that photo is now appearing on the web page. Take Browse again. I'm going to select the Windows Azure Hot Air Balloon and upload that. This balloon is flying over Stockholm over the summer, so I often watch out for it in the evenings, sometimes see it flying over the city. And if we switch to the Azure Storage Explorer, go into the Blobs section, we can see that we've got Alan Smith and the Azure balloon appearing there, and we can click on these and see the image data that's stored in Blob Storage. So my application works fine in the development emulator running against development storage. What I want to do now is to test the application running in the development emulator, but using a real live Windows storage account. So in portal.appfabriclabs.com, I'm going to go to the AppFabric services, select on applications, and this is my namespace here. Now I've also got an Azure storage account and a SQL Azure database that I can use. And in the Azure storage account, I've got details of the user account and key that I can show here by clicking on this button. Going back to the application designer, looking at the meetings and the blobs, these storage containers, I can specify a live account key and an account name, and then I can change the value of this use development storage. So for the photos blob, I'm going to change the value of use development storage to false. I'm going to do the same things with the meeting table. That's set to false. In the account name, I'm going to paste in the name of the account there for the meetings table. and also for the Photos blob container. And then setting the account key. Now this is really confidential information, so I don't want to give this away. I'm going to paste this into the account key section there. So those values have been set. I can now press on F6 to rebuild the application. And that build succeeded. I can then do start without debugging to actually test it. So the application is now running in the development emulator, and you can see that there's no photos and no meetings present. And that's because in the live storage account, the table and the blob container has just been created. So to test that this works against a real Azure storage account, I'm going to browse down, select the Azure hot air balloon photo, and upload that. And that's working fine. So if you right-click and go into the image properties, you can see that this is a public URI that's coming from core.windows.net, and that's basically the AppFabric storage account that I'm using there, and there's a photo. So now we need to test the meeting functionality again. So I'm going to put in there the same details as I had previously, and I'm going to click on Add. And that's appearing there in the meetings table. So we know the application code works against a live storage account. The next thing to do is to deploy the application to Windows Azure and see if it can run within the AppFabric hosting environment. So I'm going to go back to Visual Studio. I'm going to select the Swag Proof of Concept application, and then I'm going to select Publish. So this is asking for my namespace and for my management key. The namespace is going to be Kebab Pizza. The management key I really want to keep private, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to paste this in and click Publish, and I'll pause the recording whilst I'm doing that. So the publication has started, and I'm going to view the output window, which is going to show us the progress of the application being published there. So you can see it's created the application and it's uploading the package. I can also go back to the AppFabric portal site and select the AppFabric application manager. And we can see that in the applications section we've got the SwagPOC application. It's been created and it's just going to be uploading that application. So you can see here that the application has been imported. I can select the application, and we've now got an option to deploy the application. Now we need to deploy it and start it, and this is giving me the option to start the application after deployment completes, so I can just click on deploy. So the application has deployed and its state is now starting. Again, I pause the recordings when I'm publishing and deploying these applications just to keep the time of the webcast down. It typically takes anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes to actually publish and start the application. So the application is now in the started state. We can go to the endpoint section for the application and click on the endpoint here. So my website is now hosted at appfabriclabs.com. Here's the full URI. So I should be able to browse down and add additional photos. And that works fine. And I should also be able to add additional meetings. So this time we'll take the Azure Access Control Service and Windows Identity Foundation. Description is the lowdown on federated identity. Presenter will be Barry. That's going to be hosted at Microsoft Sweden, and we'll set it for the 7th of July. So I'll click on Add. And you can see that we've got our second meeting scheduled there. So we've now got the fully working proof of concept application running in Windows Azure AppFabric. So as a summary, the AppFabric Gene CTP is providing some great functionality for developing web-based applications against Azure storage. The application designer allows us to compose the applications and add these storage artifacts. We get the diagram view of the service references. The Azure storage artifacts, the tables and the blobs, are provisioned when we deploy our application. We've also got improvements in the programming model against Azure storage. It's easier to access tables and blobs when you are using AppFabric because you can get the service references directly. We've also got application monitoring. I haven't demonstrated that, but I will in future webcasts take a look at the application monitoring that we've got, because that's quite powerful for web applications.